Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, my dear fellow redeemed. This morning you and I enter into the last four Sundays of the Christian church year, Sundays that prepare us for the end of time, reminding us that this world as you and I know it is not going to continue on forever, even though at sometimes it perhaps feels that way. One day just flows right into the next. We are going to be reminded of what it means to stand before that last judgment. We're going to be reminded what it means that you and I get to be triumphant and that Christ is our King. The first Sunday of end time allows us to rejoice in the Lutheran Reformation, to remind us how it's possible to stand in the last judgment, to remind us how it's possible that you and I can be triumphant saints. Where do you and I learn that Christ is the King? We find that out from this amazing, precious Word. And in that Word, you and I know that when that last day finally does come and the end of time appears, you will hear, "Welcome home." And there it is again. Welcome home. Throughout the last couple of weeks, you and I have been rejoicing in the fact that we get to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we get to join together, encourage each other, be encouraged by each other, wanting our family together regularly to rejoice in the fact that together you and I are not just home now, but will be home with our Lord forever because of His grace, His love, and His mercy. So we've so far have rejoiced in the fact that we're part of a Christian community. We are not all by ourselves. You do not have to face the end of time all by yourself. There are others who are with you to build you and carry you and support you and encourage you. You and I rejoice that we're part of that Christian community because the lost have been found. You and I who had been lost in sin, found by our Lord and our Savior and brought into His family. And because of that, now today, you and I rejoice as we celebrate the Reformation in the fact that you are now free to be yourself. To help us learn what that means, we focus our attention on the gospel lesson for this morning from John chapter 8. We listen to what Jesus has to say, and you rejoice this morning on this Reformation day that you are free to be yourself. Freedom is probably one of the foundational ideals of the country in which you and I live. Freedom is something that you hear a lot about. Freedom is often touted as the sole reason and the sole purpose and the sole permission to do whatever it is that you and I wish to do. You and I in this country are able to be free. We are free to go where we want to go, free to be what we want to be, free to study what we want to study, free to be yourself. Except you probably understand what that really means. If you are actually free to be yourself, apart from the Word, then you see what takes place. And you know what takes place because you see it all around you. If you are free to be yourself, apart from the Word, then it's nothing but sinfulness. Then it's nothing but selfishness. Then I use it as an excuse to do whatever I want to do. And now I start to redefine everything. I redefine who I am. I redefine what marriage is. I redefine what sexuality is. I redefine whatever it is. I want to redefine because I am free. I can do whatever I want. I can live however I want. I can make decisions based on what I want, and I'm going to do whatever makes me feel good. You see where this goes. That's what being yourself is without God. And you will be yourself right into hell. Today you and I rejoice in what it actually means to be yourself with God. And so Jesus reminds us that you are free to be a disciple. And you are free to be family. So we focus our attention on these words of our Lord and our Savior, and we rejoice in what it means as you and I, because of God's amazing grace, are really free to be yourself. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In order to be a disciple, there is one place you and I need to be, and it's one of the first pillars of the Lutheran Reformation, right? Scripture alone. If you and I are really going to be free, free to be yourself, the way God made you to be, then we need to remain in His Word. And our Lord and our Savior reminds us that remaining in His Word is not just a one-time thing. It's not that you and I show up and we hear it, or we go through the process and we wear the little white robes and we stand up here and we say a few things and then we're done. Just as that sin is a constant fight, so our Lord and our Savior wants us constantly in His Word, remaining in that Word, listening to that Word, gathering together to be in that Word, to help each other, encourage each other, strengthen each other. And when you are in that Word, that's when you know the truth. The truth is Jesus' teaching. The truth is what Jesus has to say. The truth is found here in Scripture alone. And when you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. You've heard that phrase before, I'm sure. In fact, you've heard it quoted probably many times, that the truth will set you free. And oftentimes when you hear it quoted, it is misquoted. It has this idea that the truth will set you free. As soon as you figure out what your truth is, then you are free. Then you are liberated to do whatever you want. And all of a sudden it gets divorced from my teaching. And truth simply becomes my opinion, my feeling, my ideas. And as soon as I agree with myself, and I follow my own opinions, then I think I'm free to do whatever I wish to do. Remain in my teaching, Jesus says, and then you will know the truth, and then the truth will set you free, and you really will be my disciples, followers of Jesus, those who listen to Him, follow after Him, rejoice in the freedom that He gives to you and to me because of His amazing grace and love. That's what it means to be a disciple, to follow Jesus. What a joy and a privilege and an amazing gift that He can take you and me who had been dead in sin, following anything but Jesus, into willing, eager, joyful disciples. You are free to be yourself. Because that's what Jesus made you, a disciple. And as you follow your Lord and your Savior, then you rejoice to not be just a disciple, not just someone who follows Jesus around, but you're also free to be family. The Jews who had been listening to Jesus kind of picked up on that idea. They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" They were proud of their family heritage. They were proud to be part of the family that were descended from Abraham, to the point where they were willing to able to categorically say, "We've never been slaves of anyone." And I don't know if this ran through the back of their minds as they were saying it, but every time I read that, when they say, "We've never been slaves of anyone," I think, well, yeah, there was that time in Egypt. Oh yeah, and there was that time in Babylon. And right now, they're not really free. They're under the Roman control. Maybe not necessarily slaves in that sense, but certainly not free to go do whatever as they as a nation want to do. But they somehow managed to overlook all of that and were absolutely convinced that their descent from day Abraham superseded everything, no matter what their setting was. And because they were descended from Abraham, they had a right to claim that superior place, and everybody eventually should be under them. And they were hoping to become that superpower once again that they were under David and Solomon. How can you say we'll be set free? They were slaves. You are slaves. I'm a slave. Want proof? Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Whoever is doing sin is a slave to sin." As you and I peer into the pages of Scripture, as you and I remind ourselves what we heard in our lessons for this morning, it becomes so painfully obvious to you and to me that we are slaves to sin, that our will is not our own, that we are not free, but all we do is whatever that slave master tells us to do. And we keep on doing it. Jesus described it. One of the reasons he said you need to remain in my word is because you and I are constantly doing sin, fighting it, struggling against it. And no sooner do we get one lick, but then there's another one right there trying to trip us up. And so we really do need to be set free. We need to be set free from ourselves. We need to be set free from sin and death and Satan. The one who is doing sin is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Slavery in the days of Jesus was probably slightly different than slavery that you and I tend to think of based on our own country's history. But regardless of how nice or not nice it may have been, a slave had no place in the family. He may be there and he may be working, but he has no standing, he has no rights, he has no status. And it's even possible that a slave and a son could be working side by side, and if you don't know the family, you might not be able to tell the difference. But the slave has no place. Eventually that slave either gets sold, goes away, dies, and that's it. The son has a place in the family. The son is in the family. The son is the one who eventually takes over, the one who eventually becomes in control. As you and I think about ourselves as slaves to sin, you and I rejoice in the Son. The Son who does have a place in the family. The Son who is the only begotten Son of God, who has always been there with constant might and power and authority. The one who is the maker and controller and the ruler of all things. The one who is willing to set it aside, step into this world to make you part of the family. To make you His brothers and to make you His sisters so that God the Father can also be your Father. That's the one who has a right and a permanent place in the family. So if the Son sets you free, you are really free. Free to be yourself. Free to be a disciple. Free to be in the family. And now all of a sudden you are liberated. Absolutely free. Free to set aside all of those things that had enslaved us before. Free to start fighting those sins, fighting those temptations, because now you get to be yourself. You are now sons and daughters, set free by your Lord and your Savior. Now you get to live for Him. And that is grace alone. God's undeserved love is showered upon you. He comes to you in word and in sacrament, and He tells you who you are. He tells you what He has declared you to be. He tells you what He wants you to be, and He gives you the strength to now live as His disciples and follow Him and free to be part of the family. We don't deserve it, but He gives it to us anyway. And we come here week after week, and we rejoice in that grace, and we rejoice in that love. And it's yours through faith alone. The gospel gives what it asks for. The gospel proclaims to you everything that Jesus did. It takes you to His life, and it takes you to His death, and it takes you to His resurrection. And the gospel says, now you need to trust this one. And then the gospel gives you that trust. That power of God for the salvation of all who believe. And now with that amazing gift of faith, faith grabs on to everything that Jesus is and everything that Jesus done and says, it's mine. I'm His. I'm always His. And now I'm free. Free to be in the family. Free to be home. Reformation allows you and me to look back through the ages. Rejoice in various people just like you and me that God had used to do some extraordinary things at extraordinary times. Using people who had been taught that they just simply needed to try to do harder, they needed to do better. And the harder they tried, the more aware of their sin they became. People who then recognize what the second lesson told us, the righteousness of God is not something He's demanding from you. He does not expect you to give Him righteousness because He knows you can't. So He gives you righteousness. He took the righteousness from the one who could, your substitute and Lord, and applies that to you. You now stand innocent before God, just in His sight, no longer worthy of death and sin and punishment, but now able to hear Him say, "Welcome home." And He says that even now. Welcome home. Here. With all the brothers and sisters who surround you, who need to hear the same thing, who rejoice in the same thing, who need your encouragement just as much as you need theirs, to rejoice in the fact that here, in His Word, you are free to be yourself. Free to be a disciple. Free to be in the family. Amen.